Welcome to Coffee and Jesus. I'm your host, Jael, coming to you from Texas. And it is Friday. It's a pretty sunny day here. The past few weeks have been very traumatic for me, I'll be honest. Just too much is going on in the world. You know, the pandemic got me for a minute. And then all of these racial incidents and killings, and now the looting and the rioting. It's just a lot. And I'm going to be perfectly candid. It's been traumatic. This has been a traumatic event. And even as an educated person who has had a lot of psychology courses, and I have certifications in different areas of Christian counseling, it's still traumatic. Because as a black person, these things are very, very personal to me. So I want to talk to you today about crisis, trauma, crisis intervention, pastoral counseling. What can pastors do to help? What can Christian counselors and therapists do to help? What can you do to help yourself? Let's start with the definition of a crisis. It is a situation or event that causes human suffering. And the suffering of the victim cannot be alleviated without some sort of, assistance. And I've got my notes in front of me, so you're going to be hearing me probably turn pages if you don't mind. There are many different types of crises, as you know, like natural disasters. I'm in Texas. We had an unprecedented hurricane with Hurricane Harvey a few years ago. So that's an example of a natural disaster. We've had a health crisis with this pandemic. Now we have a social crisis, which includes a violent crime, of the murdering of Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd. And we'll just stick with the most recent one, George Floyd, because people still don't agree on Ahmaud Arbery, but 99.999% of the population agrees on this most recent incident with George Floyd. So when there's a crisis, there is a ripple effect of victimization from the immediate victim to family and friends, bystanders, and then to service providers. Now, there are many ways to respond to a crisis situation. Some people are in denial. Some people are outraged. Some people are afraid. Some people feel more vulnerable. All of these emotions, responses, are perfectly normal. Two physical responses to crisis are either one, you're frozen, which means you're numb, disoriented, or in shock, or two, you're in fight or flight mode, which is what has happened with some of the rioting. And just as a disclaimer, I am not condoning any looting. Looting is a crime. When you are a victim of trauma, you feel like you've lost control of your life. You're questioning your faith, whatever your faith is. You're trying to figure out what's fair and what's just. And then you start thinking about the future. Where do we go from here? And let me just stop and say to my white brothers and sisters, thank you so much for speaking up and speaking out, especially all of you pastors. I just cannot thank you enough for coming alongside of us and saying this is wrong, because it's going to take all of us linked arm in arm to stop racism. After Hurricane Harvey, lots of people had PTSD. Every time it rained, they would freak out, myself included. Because your body has what we call DNA memory. And so things will trigger, even subconsciously, memories. So moving forward with your loved ones, with people in your congregation, with people in your counseling practice, look for these things. Look for the signs that they are still traumatized, what stage they're in, and how they're dealing with it. And I know those of you who are licensed, you don't need any help. So I'm talking to the rest of us who are like more like pastoral counselors, or we run a ministry, something like that. Let me tell you what does not help in a crisis situation. Necessarily giving advice, because you don't know necessarily the background of the other person, how they were raised, what their cultural norms and beliefs are. So this is not the time for that. You cannot push the recovery process. Listen more than you speak. What you can encourage is socialization. Talking it out in groups with people of different ethnic backgrounds, different religions, different socioeconomic demographics. Just talking this whole thing out is going to do a tremendous amount of help. If someone's uncomfortable doing that, they're afraid, they're ashamed, they don't know, you know, they're embarrassed, whatever, they can journal it. But they need to get it out somehow. We can talk about the spiritual needs of victims during this time. So here are some of the spiritual issues when a tragedy occurs. Why me, Lord? This is not fair. Is life really eternal? I must have been bad. My people must have been bad. What's the purpose of this? How can I forgive someone for this heinous crime? All of these things run through a person's mind. So when you're dealing with victim ministry, don't try to explain it away. Don't try to take away the reality of their pain. And don't be frightened by the person who's traumatized by their anger. What you can say to them is, I'm so sorry. I can't imagine how you feel. What can I do for you? I'm sure that most people who have gone through similar situations feel like you feel right now. Some spiritual coping mechanisms that you can try are redefining the event through the eyes of faith, seeking God's presence, looking toward spiritual leaders, praying to God for discernment and direction and intervention. Just praying and deferring the problem, the whole situation, over to God. It's important that people not isolate themselves during this time. And it's good that a lot of the bans have been lifted concerning the pandemic for this reason, for this particular event, because right now is not a time to be isolated. This is a very dangerous time for certain personality types to be alone, because they're going to need the support from families and groups, even if it's just a physical touch, such as a hug. Because it's very difficult to accept what has happened. Most of the world has seen a man actually killed on television. If they watched the video the whole way through, that's traumatizing. That's not a normal thing for anybody to see. And so it's stressful. It heightens the level of a person's anxiety. The person may have feelings of guilt, fear, depression, nightmares, difficulty concentrating, intrusive memories, rage, hostility, flashbacks. Physically, watch out for elevated blood pressure, gastrointestinal problems after you eat, chest pain, headaches. The list goes on and on. I'm really most concerned right now for the people who are numb. Because when the numbness wears off, who knows how they're going to react and respond. Now, everybody deals with trauma differently. We have to figure out the healthiest way for each individual to work it out. Some people need to physically do something, run, for example, and get their endorphins up. Some people need to dance. Some people just need to sing and listen to praise and worship music. Some people need to journal it out. Some people are going to need to start going to a therapist. That is okay. Nobody should be ostracized or penalized or made to feel bad because they're having a hard time dealing with what's happening. This is not normal. People getting killed in the middle of the street is just not normal. Especially the fact that it's been recorded. And multiple people have seen it, and lots of people have learned about it. So, just be aware. Pay attention to the signs and the symptoms. Have the ministry of presence. If you're a minister, like it says in Matthew 5:14, that you are a light in the world. Just have the ministry of presence. And the ministry of presence is quiet. It doesn't have to be necessarily silent, but it's not very vocal. The ministry of presence is about having a relationship, being there for that person, not just doing things, but just being there. So I hope that this has given you some ideas for dealing with those who are in a stressful situation. Remember to look for the warning signs. Remember the do's and don'ts of what you can say and what you shouldn't say. Just be observant, be a good listener. Try to help them find the silver lining is what has happened and what has happened. So for me, the silver lining with George Floyd's death is that many more people are aware now that there really is still racism. That it really still is a problem. That there are some unethical police officers who need to be checked, fired, prosecuted. And this isn't a police bashing thing. Policemen are awesome. We're talking about a particular police officer. This is where it has to start. And so for me, the silver lining in this is that. Please keep in prayer the victims' families, as well as the emergency service personnel, the EMTs that picked him up, the nurses, the doctors, the other police officers, the chaplains who are trying to work with the department, everybody who's having to deal with this. It's very stressful. Critical incidents produce an extreme amount of stress. We've all felt it. You know, people are confused, people are crying, people are angry. Just keep everything that I'm telling you in mind as we move forward and try to make sense of all of this and have racial restoration as a nation and as a church. And again, the world needs Jesus. He's the answer. Let's do our best to be a ministry of presence and how we treat people during this time. Be blessed.